You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Stars fans, it's Jeff Kay, public address announcer for your Dallas Stars, and you're listening to Starcastic Remarks, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Stars!
Hey guys, welcome back to Starcastic Remarks alongside Chris to the left, James to the right. I am Ryan Chambers in the center here. Welcome back to Trade Deadline Eve. There seems to be a lot of things happening. I mean, you have to call it. There's a ton of things going on right now. But we appreciate you guys being here this evening live if you are doing so. And if you are listening afterwards, we appreciate you just as much. If you like what you hear, leave us a five-star review wherever that may be and click like and subscribe on YouTube. Hit that notification bell so you never miss an episode of Starcastic Remarks. Gentlemen, the last time we talked, Wyatt Johnston had done another thing in scoring 3 points in a single game. Roope Hintz continues to do his thing. And then we got into a little bit of contract talk for a split second, and I wanted to, and Chris said no because we were going to save it for tonight. So that is our main topic for this evening. We're going to get into, obviously, the trades that have been going down over the last several hours. Just today alone, there have been about three or four that we will be discussing here. So what I want to get to first, guys, is obviously Wyatt Johnston. And just like Thomas Harley, it seems like the players we were talking about, you know, being the guys that were going to have a coming out party in Maverick Bork and Logan Stankov. And we were expecting stuff like that from them. And to some extent, especially Maverick has done so. He's starting to get to that point where we might've expected him to be. But I don't think anybody realized the next step that two players in particular would be taking. And that's Thomas Harley, Wyatt Johnston. Harley has become extremely noticeable in just in the national grandscape of things because of the fact that he got called up for Team Canada, played really well, and was called upon over some other big name Canadian defensemen. And then Wyatt Johnston as of late is just absolutely going on off on a tear after the slow start that he had to the start of the season. I think he's got something similar to Roope Hintz, where he's got like 8 or 9 points in the last three games or something like that. He's got 4 goals in the last two games alone. So all of the hype around him has really been going up. And now we've been talking questions about, is Wyatt Johnston in the next captain of this franchise after Jamie Benn decides to hang the skates up? What does his next contract look like? Is he going to be the first player in Dallas Stars cap era history who has a cap hit of over $10 million? Those sort of things. So there's a lot of different rabbit holes that we could go down, but where do you want to start with? Do you want to start about like the legacy part of what Wyatt Johnston could do, or do you want to start with the contract negotiations?
Well, we should probably start with what's actually happened so far. And it, reports are that he got offered $8 or $8.5 million for 8 years. And that's reportedly been turned down, but it's not really turned down at this point. It's more like he just has decided not to accept it, which makes sense because he's on a tear right now. It looks like he's just going to have another amazing playoffs, and he can wait for the rest of the market to decide how high it is going to go, because it's super volatile right now. Nobody knows what people are going to get paid this coming off season.
Yeah, and realistically, it's kind of a low ball. I mean, I know he's 21, $8 million is ridiculous. This is our season leader for forwards in time on ice by over a minute. So he is like the most important forward on the team.
Yeah, and
right now,
an argument to be made that he's the most important piece when it comes to the future of this team. I mean, he's doing what you're saying, James, with time on ice by a full minute among forwards, and he's one of the youngest players on the team. That's insane.
He's the youngest.
He has all of the. It feels like he's got all the leverage, right? In terms of stats, he has all the leverage, right? He obviously doesn't have the money. Tom Gilardi does. But the deal is you can y'all named off just a couple. The fact that he's over a minute more time on ice per game than any other forward. He led this team in goal scoring last year with 32. Yes, it was only 32. He was 20 years old when he did this in his second season. He is consistently playing in every single situation. You name me one situation that he's not playing in right now. You can't. It's not possible. When Miro goes down, who gets the assistant captain or alternate captain, whatever? Who gets the A on his jersey? Wyatt Johnston does. All of these things stack up in his favor. And I understand what some people are saying in the fact that, you know, he's not going to get to $10 million. I don't see how he doesn't. I truly don't see how he doesn't, just based off of what he's done, what he's already done. And we're not even talking about the fact that the NHL nowadays does it based off of what you're going to do. Like that's the scary thing about this contract, is that he could get a 8x10 deal, 8 years for $10 million. And in year 4 or 5, it looks like a complete steal, maybe even sooner than that. And you could probably even argue that now, even at $10 million in a year or two, with the cap exploding like it's supposed to, that $10 million could be a huge deal as well. So I just don't see how Jim Nill is going to be able to convince Wyatt to take a whole lot less money. I'm not saying he's going to go out and get $15 million. He's not there. But $10 million? I think that is more than in the realm of possibility for Wyatt Johnston.
Yeah, and if you want him signed for those 8 years that you can get him for, I think you kind of have to give him that at least $10
million. Yeah, I'm kind of more on the lower end than y'all are. I think that's definitely on the table. It's just hard to tell what's going to happen because of all the cap space that's going up. Nobody really knows what's happening, and not to lead us into our next topic of Rantanen, that's why Rantanen hasn't been re-signed with Carolina and why they're not offering him the crazy contract, because they don't want to be the first ones to start this off. I mean, you don't want to be the guy that gave Rantanen $15 million and then turns out, oh, actually, the contracts aren't going to be that crazy next year, you know? So I see what y'all are saying, but I would still err on the side of it being south of 10 million because he is still an RFA. Dallas Stars do still have negotiating rights with him in that regard. But I expect Wyatt to take it all the way to the end the same way Robo did and wait till the very last second. The only reason this contract was trying to get negotiated now is so that Neil can look at players who aren't going to be UFAs next year as possible additions to the team and see if he can know what he needs to project in the future. I think it was just a kind of a shot for Neil to see if Wyatt was just be willing to get it done with, and then he could have an option to do that. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think Wyatt's going to wait till the last second.
I think what you're saying makes sense, but also like if it takes 10 million, like if he gets up and he's asking for 10 million, I think you give it to him. I mean, without a doubt,
right.
He's the number one forward.
I probably agree with that because 10 million that's not a crazy evaluation, I would say, for him right now, given what the cap's going to do. But we don't know what's going to happen yet, too. So everybody's not going to be, is going to not want to be the first one to do it. And the good thing about this, if he doesn't sign during the season, which he probably isn't, then we're going to see UFAs get signed before Wyatt Johnson gets signed, too. So the market's going to get set, and then we're going to see what happens with Wyatt.
Okay, so I do want to answer this one question because there are probably a lot of Stars fans that are not as well-versed as we are in this, and I think this is important to talk about. Can you explain the difference between an unrestricted free agent and a restricted free agent? Okay. I don't want to go into all the details. There's a lot, okay? But long story short, on an RFA, the team still has rights to sign that player. Long story short. So no player, the player can't just go out and sign with another team just free-nilly, okay? A unrestricted free agent has that ability to do so. And normally what you see with unrestricted free agents, I'll give you one little detail of all of this stuff. There's a lot that to try and understand. Basically, anybody that is 27 years of age or older qualifies as an unrestricted free agent. Now, you can also meet that same thing and become an unrestricted free agent if you have played for a certain amount of time, okay? Right. That's as far as I want to get into it because otherwise I would just be confusing a whole bunch of people. So long story short, that's what that means. Restricted free agents, you can normally expect them to be younger players like Wyatt Johnson, 22, 23-ish, somewhere around there. And then normally the unrestricted free agents are like late 20s, early 30s kind of players. Normally. That there are exceptions. So long story short, that's what that is. And to make sure that it goes along with the conversation we're talking about, Wyatt Johnson will be a restricted free agent when this current contract is up. He's making $935,000. I think that is ridiculous to say that.
Right.
And I thought that Matt Duchene was on the best value deal in the NHL. No, it's probably Wyatt Johnson. He's got to be up
best there. Value non-entry level contract deal.
Fair. Yeah. Okay. There you go.
I think
fair.
We all knew that was the caveat.
Fair. So, okay. Anyways, so with Wyatt Johnston and his ability to do all of that stuff, what do you ultimately think it's going to end in $10 million? Ultimately, when everything's said and done, is he going to be a $10 million player?
I think if he gets a full 8 years, I think he's going to be 9.5.
Okay, James, what do you think?
He probably gets it. I mean, all it takes is him pushing, I feel like, even a bit, and he could get that pretty easily. But also, we've seen Jim Neal get people for less than we expected. I mean, Robertson's a great example of this. Robertson got 7.75, partly because that's all they had.
We were talking about 10 million.
Yeah.
We were talking about 10 million, I think. Yeah.
But it's also because Jim Neal knows how to get these, knows how to work these deals, specifically RFA deals too.
Yeah. And the other thing is for that one, Robo did only sign 4 years, not 8. So that's definitely part of it. So you don't have to project the value as much, but also, like you said, he is going to be an RFA. It's going to be easier to sign him for less. I don't want to go too far into it, but I'm going to. With the salary cap going up, offer sheets are going to be much more likely for the teams that have the money and are willing to go all the way to the cap ceiling. And if anyone's going to be a candidate for an offer sheet, it's going to be Wyatt Johnson. Especially team like, say, Chicago, that is looking to get better quickly, that has already a young player on their team, that's going to be tempting.
But you also have to consider that he has to sign that offer sheet. You can't just offer somebody the offer sheet and then it's done. He has to be willing. Yes, he would be making, he would probably get offer sheeted like $15 million or something ridiculous like that.
No, but he would not. No, that is not true.
I'm saying a ridiculous number on purpose. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
But he also has to be willing, and he has to know that there's a possibility he could leave the Dallas Stars. So when he signs that contract, he has to be understanding that. And I don't know if he would be willing to do that, because considering where he started and how well he started, he could still be making a decent amount of money and be contending for the next 3 to 5 years with a Stanley Cup contending team. So why not make a little bit less money and have a good team? And that's typically what happens when you see these guys sign these big contracts, is they're like, oh, that's a little less than I expected. Well, the reason why is because it's a good team and they're able to surround that guy with really good players. So,
okay, but hockey is hockey and business is business. Why isn't Rantanen re-signing with Carolina? Carolina's been a great team with Rantanen. They're set to be a cup contender for the next 3 years again. So why not take a little bit less money and sign with Carolina? Because he wants to get what he's worth. And that's totally fair. He can absolutely do that. So there's no reason for Wyatt Johnson not to go take the money that he is worth.
Yep.
Offer
sheets and RFA, UFA stuff is so confusing, convoluted, and it's only going to get more so in the next coming years, because offer sheets is not really a thing that we heard of. Last year was kind of the first big year for offer sheets. The Blues stole two players from the Oilers because they could afford it. So it's going to be weird. I don't think there is real concern with Johnston Wyatt Johnston there.
Well, and there's another example of how the offer sheets work. I mean, two players from the Oilers that just lost in the Cup final accepted less than $1 million more than they could have gotten from the Oilers. I mean, it's a lot of money. You're going to tell a kid to turn down $750,000 just to play on a better team? Like, I get what you're saying, Ryan. And as someone who is passionate about your team wanting to win the Stanley Cup and will never actually be offered that money in real life, I get it, and it makes sense.
Hey, never say never. Never say never.
Yeah, sure. You can dream. But when you're actually faced with it and someone says, I'm going to give you $750,000 more to come to my worst hockey team, I mean, good luck saying no to that.
Now, I'll throw another wrench into the conversation here, because it's fun to speculate. We're all assuming that Wyatt Johnson is going to sign for 8 years. Honestly, if you're a hockey player right now in the NHL, you don't sign for an 8-year deal unless you really want that stability. If you want to maximize your profits and you think you're only going to get better from here, I mean, Wyatt Johnson's only 22, right? He's coming up on his 22nd birthday. If he takes a 4-year deal and it takes him to he's 26, 27, and he's even better, if he signs like a $9 million deal for 4 years now and the cap keeps going up, imagine what that contract's going to look like in 3 to 4 years. He could be making $13 to $14 million if he's as good as what I'm hoping he will be.
That's also a really stupid way to look at contracts if you're a hockey player. I mean, any game you play, you have to let me talk. Any shift you play, your body breaks, and now all that potential money that you could be worth more later is completely gone. That is true. One shift. And all that potential money that you're talking about is gone. So you're betting on yourself. You're getting guaranteed $10 million a year for 8 years. almost every single hockey player is going to take that. There's going to be some crazy guy that likes to gamble in the casinos, but a value proposition wise, that makes no sense to not take the max deal that you can.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of risk with not doing long-term deals for the players as well. You could also go all the way through that contract, have your best years, and then maybe you're not worth as much at the end of it, but you just don't know. There's so much uncertainty with that.
Taking those long-term deals shifts the risk from the player to the team. And that's why every chance that players get, they take a long-term deal.
And that's what I'm saying. That's what I meant by saying stability. If they want that stability, like y'all are talking about, and most players do, they go out and they sign that $8 million, right?
Okay. Any player that doesn't is stupid.
No, that's not true. It's not stupid. It's just a difference.
It's safety too. I mean, like, and you're not.
But
being,
that's
it, logically, you are playing a game where there is a rubber puck that flies at sometimes hundreds of miles an hour that you get asked to stand in front of multiple times a game,
and you're wearing knife shoes. So risking that you're not going to get hurt and you might make $2 million more in four years.
What if you get hurt?
Bad
what if
risk.
You get
and that's
hurt
no
only
takes.
In your contract year too. Like in your contract year, you get hurt and now you've completely plummeted your value.
So let me point out two specific instances, and I think both can show both ways. The way that y'all are talking about, which is the way that most players do, and y'all are correct. And then there's a different way that I'm talking about. If you are trying to maximize your value, and that's what you want to do, you want to maximize your value, you take a lesser deal, and with the idea that you're going to be worth more later on. Now, once you sign the big deal in your late 20s, ish around that area is typically when you sign that big deal. Then after that, the values typically decline. That's just normal. That's the way that the NHL works. Okay. A situation that you were talking about is, for example, Carey Price in Montreal. That is a perfect example of what y'all are talking about. A player who is at the top of his game, one of the best players, one of the greatest goalies I think we've ever seen come out of Canada. And we don't necessarily know if he'll make the Hall of Fame. That doesn't matter right now, but he could. But he's been on LTIR for what, 4 years, 5 years now? I can't even remember it was 2021. So 3 or 4 years ago, right? You played in the playoffs. Then when you look at the flip side, like someone like Austin Matthews. Austin Matthews has never signed an $8 million deal. And the reason being is because he believes in the way that I am talking about and maximizing his value. Now, does he sign 2 or 3 year deals? No. He signs, I think the last couple of ones he signed a 5 year deal and he signed a 4 year deal. I think if I'm remembering correctly off the top of my head, James, help me.
I think both of them are 5 year deals.
Okay. So he could have gone up to 8 and he didn't. So he got a little bit of stability with the knowledge that he can get more later on. And he did. What was his first contract AAV, James, after his entry level deal? What was it?
It was.
While he's doing that, I
mean a longer term deal. Like Johnson's not gonna want to sign a 2 year deal.
So Matthews' first contract after his ELC was 11.64, weird numbers after that. Million for 5 years, and then now this one is 13.5 for four.
Okay,
so you were
I was
right
close.
About 5-4.
Okay, so so that's what I'm talking about. So it's just a matter of perspective and how you view yourself, and if you view yourself as injury prone, I guess is a way that you can look at that.
I would also
that's literally all I was saying.
I would consider of. 5 year deal as more of a long term deal too, though.
That's what I'm saying. I think that's a long term deal in my eyes. Like
not the longest, but
even Robertson's contract I would consider a long term deal. Four years
it's
is
three.
No, it's four.
I don't think so.
Wait, who?
Robertson's.
I think it's three or four.
He signed through next season.
Yeah.
And we signed him last season. That's three seasons.
I don't think it was last season.
It was 2 seasons ago? Dude, I'm tripping so hard.
Yeah, I know. I think it was 2 seasons ago. Yeah. I'll have to go look on the YouTube channel and figure out when we did
anyway, that. Anyway, Johnson's going to want a long-term deal.
Yeah, okay. So basically, that's what I'm saying. I don't consider a 4 or 5 year deal a long term deal compared to a 7 or 8 year deal. That's what I consider a long term deal. But it really doesn't matter. How do we get off on this from Wyatt Johnston? Anyways, it's been fun, but I don't think he gets any less than a 5 year deal, in my opinion. Is that fair to say?
Yes. But he wants an 8 year deal.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about him in terms of, like, I can't believe we're already talking about this, but in terms of his legacy, and is he the next captain of this team? Do you believe that, or do you still think that Miro Heiskanen or maybe Harley, I don't really think it's Harley all that much, but do you think it's still Miro Heiskanen's team?
Well, Miro Heiskanen's definitely not like the typical captain type, I don't think. Especially compared to how Jamie has been the captain of this team. He's a skilled guy that likes to play hockey, and he likes to keep to himself, is from what I've heard about. So I don't think Miro's ever really going to be the guy that's going to be wearing a C.
Yeah, that was definitely something that people talked about when Miro was even earlier on in his career. But I think the landscape of the team has changed drastically with how many different captains we've seen come onto the team and influence other young players that have come up. It's really changed some of the landscape with at least the younger crowd on the team.
So do you think this is going to be more of growth for, like, village wise, right? Like, it's not just one guy. I mean, it never really is one guy, but you have some teams where there is one guy that is heavily relied upon to be that rock. And we've seen that. But with this team, maybe it is Miro Heiskanen in a combination of Wyatt Johnston, and they just, maybe Wyatt Johnston wears the C or something like that. And really it's both of their team, and they're like, I don't think it doesn't matter
who does it, as long as they respect the tradition that the Stars have set up with who wears the C. And it's the fact that the captain of the Dallas Stars is not just our highest skill player. I mean, sometimes it is. When we don't have that guy that's the solid leader, Mike Modano will wear the C, and he will do a great job of being the captain. But when we have another guy that comes around that has those leadership qualities, even if he's not the highest skilled player, we're going to give it to Morrow, and he's going to be the captain because he has those leadership qualities. And I think that was the same with Jamie Benn. We didn't know Jamie Benn was going to be a Hart Trophy winner when he got the C. It turned out that he was, and that was awesome, but he was supposed to be the awesome leader that he's known of now, and is like one of the last few like classic captains left in the NHL. So I think Dallas needs to follow tradition and avoid falling into the pitfall of just letting your best player be the captain. If it is Johnston and he really is the best leader, fine, give it to him. That's totally okay with me. But it should go to him because of his leadership qualities, not because he's going to be the best center on the team.
So, okay. So typically what you've seen from the Dallas Stars as an organization is they go after not necessarily just skill like you're talking about, Chris, but
yeah,
someone that's got specifically that's got a little bit of like physicality to him. I mean, we talk about like guys like Darian Hatcher. We talk about guys like Brendan Morrow and Jamie Benn. Obviously, he's not the same guy he was, but he still can throw the body when he wants to.
Still leads Johnston. The team
hits. He does.
He does.
That's crazy. Apparently. I should have paid attention.
Bischel's probably going to pass him, but
maybe eventually. But
I think he's only like 20 hits behind him, and he's only played like 20 games.
That's crazy. Okay, so anyways, so does that mean that maybe Johnston kind of changes the idea of what being a captain is in the Dallas Stars organization? Or do they go somewhere? Do they go with someone different? Like, I mean, Robertson has started to get that physicality to his game, but he doesn't have any of the same leadership qualities that I would say that you see out of Wyatt Johnston.
I don't think the captaincy was so much that it was just a physical person. It was the person who had the leadership qualities. I mean, they three of the recent ones happened to be physical, but like when Madonna was the captain, he wasn't physical at all. So I don't think it has to be somebody that fights and throws the body and all that stuff.
Hey guys, it's Ryan here. It might not feel like it, but spring's right around the corner. Know how you can tell? Golfers are hitting the links, and we have some tournaments to be talking about. And if you want to do more than just talk, put your money where your mouth is. Get in on all of the tee to green action with DraftKings Sportsbook. From Thursday's opening round through the closing round Sunday, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with tournament props, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. And if you've never bet on golf before, it's easier than you think. Just pick something simple like a golfer to win the tourney and make your pick. It's just that easy. For example, when you look at the Masters coming up here in a little less than 2 months now, Scottie Scheffler is the winner right now, according to DraftKings Sportsbook odds, with a plus 350. Or you could go with Rory McIlroy at a plus 750. Here's something special for first-timers as well. If you do go and bet for one of these two guys, new DraftKings customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casinos and Resort, Kansas. 21 plus age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. New customers only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio. Anything else about Wyatt Johnston? We spent a long time on him, but I think that was a good conversation. Anything else? I will leave the floor up to y'all because I don't know which ones y'all want to go with, but there have been about three or four trades just today alone. The day we're recording this is March 5th. So we're not even talking about the couple of trades that have happened earlier this week. And I mean, we can if we want to, if you want to do that. But where do you want to start with? And I think I know which one Chris wants to start with.
Well, the big one that happened today was Yanni Gourde and Bjorkstrand go to Tampa Bay. And somehow they pull two first round picks in a second, which sounds like insanity to me. I mean, those are two solid middle of the lineup players. They could be second or third line guys for sure. But they're going to a Tampa team that is going to be falling out of playoff spots in about 3 years, if I had to guess. And they give up the entire house. I mean, that's what Tampa gives up. Two first rounds and a second. That just seems insane to me.
Remember when they gave up like five picks for Tanner Janot? Yeah. The thing is, Chris, and it depends on how you view, you know, your team. You've still got Kucherov, you've still got Hedman, you've still got Vasilevsky, and they're having a really good season this year. They've had a little bit of ups and downs, but for the most part, it's been trajectory up. How many more years are you going to get with a core like this? And this is a core that's already won two cups. So, I mean, you might as well go all in with the expectation that when these guys are done, you're going to have to do a rebuild probably. But it depends on if you think your market will also be fine with sucking for a while, which here in Dallas, that's not the case. They believe that if we just faltered off and we were just, you know, down in the dumps with San Jose, that this market would not support the team like it is right now. So it really just depends. I like what they did. It's a lot to give up. I absolutely agree. But I think what they did, giving up a whole bunch of futures, I think it's worth it.
Well, what they did is they made their bed. I mean, because now they're going to go into a rebuild. And they're going to suck for a few years, pretty much, with giving up two first-rounders in a row and a second. And, yeah, I don't get it for a team that's already past its prime. It just seems weird to me.
Right. I think it truly is just a – it gives their core a chance to win for the next, like, 2 years, maybe. Like, at most, the 3 years. But like you said, Chris, this is probably going to be a rebuilding type of situation. I mean, they have just – They went all out for it the past 2 years, and they're going to have to build up some more assets somehow. And also, I mean, their team is really old now. I mean, they traded for Yanni Gourde, who's 33. So they were an old team, and I think they got a little older too.
Yeah, because Asamont was I don't want to say he was young, but he was – he definitely was in his 20s. I feel pretty confident in saying that. But, I mean, you say this team is old, but a lot of these guys are not, like, in their late 30s. I mean, in terms of their oldest forward is Luke Glendinning, and he's 35. And he's not even a major player on this team. You've got...
Wait, but how many players do they have that are in their 30s?
Not many.
The important ones are.
No.
Kucherov, Braden Point, Vasilevsky.
Okay, all right. So, but like, they're barely in their 30s, Chris. Like,
that's not what I said. I didn't say they were well in their 30s. They are in their 30s. And that's where this starts going down.
I mean, Braden Hagel is 26. Anthony Cirelli is 27. Braden Point is 28. The one I will give you is Hedman is 34. I will give you that.
I care about Hedman. I care about Kucherov, and I care about Vasilevsky. That's the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they're all in their 30s, and not playing as good as they were 3 years ago.
Besides Kucherov.
Besides Kucherov.
Well, Kucherov always plays well.
Yeah, Kucherov is Kucherov, and he will always Kucherov until he can no longer Kucherov.
We got to get that on a shirt. Sell it to Tampa Bay Lightning fans. I personally like the trade because it signals to their roster, hey, we're going all in this year. And that's got to be a good feeling as a player. For a franchise, yes, that's probably not great. But for the players on the team, I think you got to feel good about that.
Yeah, the player.
Bye, Chris.
Bye, Chris.
He was going to say something. I'm sure he was going to say that the players are very happy about it.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I think it's not going to be good for them.
All right, Chris, you're back. You want to say what you were going to say?
Yeah. I was going to say, of course, the players like it, but I think it's a bad bet. Also, I'm starting to smell smoke. Y'all smell smoke? It's coming from somewhere in this hot computer.
Yeah, I can totally smell it. Totally.
We're going to have to do some tech support here.
Live on the podcast. Okay. We'll keep talking a little bit, Chris. You figure out what the heck's going on.
I think I can still talk. I just got to make sure nothing lights on fire, you know?
Yeah. He's literally putting out fires while he's doing the podcast. Okay. James, it's your turn. What trade do you kind of want to talk about? Because Chris picked the whole Tampa Bay Lightning trade. So, what's another trade that kind of interests you that you've seen either today or in the last week as we get up to the trade deadline?
Well, I think the one that is nice to talk about is the Seth Jones trade. I mean, the Stars fans, we don't have to talk about that anymore. Seth Jones goes to the Florida Panthers for Spencer Knight and a first round pick. So, I think Spencer Knight is a pretty good goaltender, and they also got a first round pick for it. It's kind of a steep price, in my opinion. The Stars almost definitely weren't in on that one, but it's another defenseman for Florida.
Yeah, and it was also less retained, so Dallas would have had to get a third partner in and to try and get more retained on that, and that would have been hard. And yeah, the Maddox Spencer night makes the Rockford IceHogs better, so that's going to be tough for the Texas Stars.
that's what you get out of the trade, the AHL part of it. You know, I am glad that Jim Neal didn't do anything with this trade in terms of that, because Spencer Knight, I think they're going to regret that deal, to be completely honest with you, because Spencer Knight is going to, he could or could not turn into something. Let's be honest. He has all the capabilities of being a number one goalie.
That's a hot take, Ryan.
You have that and the first round pick that's attached to it. Shut up, Chris. The first round pick on top of that, that I honestly think that Chicago did really well in getting what they got out of this trade. So that's just my personal opinion.
I make fun of you, but yes, I agree. Outside of the Stars' three prospects that are currently playing on Dallas's roster, Spencer Knight is better than any Texas Stars player. I'd say he's better than either of our Barry Colts prospects. So yeah, I agree with that. And they got a high draft pick, and they didn't retain a crazy amount, and they didn't have to pay another team to retain more. So yeah, it's pretty solid.
Which they didn't retain a crazy amount, but they still end up retaining the most ever on a player just because his contract goes on for five more years.
His contract is insane. So weird. But it's like we said that was a stupid contract as soon as it was signed. Who could have foreseen?
Because they retained, was it 2.5 for the next 5 years? Or is it 2 million for the next 5 years?
I don't know. It's 26%.
Yeah. So
something like that.
About 2.5.
Yeah. So he had a 9.5. And so he's a $7 million defenseman. He's a $7 million defenseman for the Florida Panthers. So I don't hate it, but at the same time, I would not be willing to give up what the Florida Panthers did for Seth Jones. So
we also figured out why there were so many rumors with Dallas and Seth Jones, because Seth Jones said, I want to go to the Panthers or I want to go to the Stars.
Yep.
And that was it.
Which
that is true.
Two good teams to go to. Smart for Seth Jones there.
Genius.
Okay, so a couple of other trades that we've seen, they're not as huge as the ones you're talking about, but this one doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. This one broke literally about an hour and a half before we started recording this, and it's between the Predators and the Penguins, which is strange because both of those teams we would consider sellers at this year's trade deadline, right? Neither one are going to make the playoffs. They're not even close. Neither one. For the Predators, they get Michael Bunting, and they get a fourth-round pick. And then the Penguins get Tommy Novak and Luke Shen. That is a very odd and strange and weird trade in why it happens right now. Do y'all have any speculation as to why that it makes sense? Because I have none. Absolutely none. You're muted, Chris.
It's like those, sorry, tech support problems. We're trying to boost up the cooling power in here. It's like those YouTube shorts that you see, and they're like, I just found the greatest hack to increase our country's GDP by 10x. And it's just passing money back and forth. That's what they did. They're sellers, but they just sold to each other instead. They didn't really understand what being a seller meant. And they kind of got confused.
Yeah, so that's your speculation. Yeah, they just got confused.
My speculation is they got confused and they each thought each other were contenders and they thought, oh, this is how you trade deadline, right? And no, they got it wrong.
We're back in 2017, I guess, for both of these teams. Well, then they would both be contenders, actually. So that wouldn't make any sense either.
Yeah, see, then it's the right trade.
Well, I just thought it was interesting. It didn't make any sense to me at all.
It doesn't make any sense. And these contracts are all expiring in 2 years too, aren't they? Like, yeah. What the heck?
One of them lasts for the next two seasons.
So A couple of other trades that we're seeing. We see Gustav Nyquist, who, you know, 20 goal scorer normally. He's not having a good season this year, but nobody is on the Predators. He goes to the Minnesota Wild, so that directly affects the Dallas Stars. That's probably our most likely first-round matchup in the playoffs, at least as of right now. It would be if the playoffs started today. So that's interesting that they get a little bit of depth there, the Wild do. The Colorado Avalanche and the Rangers continue to just trade everything away, get rid of everything. The Avalanche go and get Lindgren, VC, and Kempf, someone who no one really knows where he plays or who he is. And in return, the Rangers get Calvin DeHaan, Juuso Parsonen, who is on his third team this year already. And they get a second round pick and a fourth round pick. So, and there's some other stuff about like retention and stuff like that. But basically the best player in this deal was Ryan Lindgren. He is a defenseman, Colorado, just trying to bolster up their blue line a little bit. So that also directly affects the Dallas Stars because that could be a team that the Jets face in the first round. And assuming those two guys go up against them, that could be nasty for the Dallas Stars if they have to face Ryan Lindgren in the second round. So, I mean, there's some trades of note that are just very, 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 very interesting.
Yeah, the Avs decided that the problem with their team is all the people that aren't MacKinnon, Makar, and pretty much all their good players. They just swapped out all their bad players, and now they're going to be great.
Well, they tried swapping out one of their good players, too. So they're doing everything.
Yeah, that's true. They did get rid of one of their good players for basically... Well, they got some decent people.
Some would argue that
it feels like they're more balanced. But the thing that made their roster scary was that they weren't. Their top players were just ridiculous and would win the game themselves. And now they're more balanced and they have like two or three really good players. But I don't know.
They still have those two or three players, though. I mean, right?
They have two.
Still, that's two players that the Stars... I would say that both of those players, that the Stars don't really have someone like that.
Also, the next 10 players the Stars have are better than the Avs next 10. So the Avs traded that's super top-heavy for mid. That's what happened.
Fair enough. Joe Baker. I like his comment. The Avs are playing franchise mode.
That's true. They're just doing stuff. They're just bored.
Well, you could say that about the Rangers, too. I mean, who have the Rangers traded off? They traded off Kaapo Kakko to Seattle. They get rid of, Trouba to the Ducks. They get rid of Lindgren. Lindgren goes to now wherever
I think the Rangers are just stupid.
I agree. They're doing stuff. They're probably going to make the playoffs anyway. It's going to be interesting.
It's going to be very interesting to watch these teams and see how they do in the playoffs. But what's nice is, and what a lot of people forget to talk about is, like, you know, if your team doesn't make a big giant deal, which I would say the Greenland deal is pretty big. I would say that's a huge deal for the Dallas Stars. It's not like, you know, Chris Tanev level. Chris Tanev was like a game changer for the Stars. But Granlund has been a solid addition. So has CeCe. CeCe has come in and played CeCe's pretty well.
Been a bigger addition than Granlund has just with the injuries that the Stars have gotten.
Exactly. He was not the player that the Stars originally wanted, but he was an addition, and he has been fantastic. He's played almost at some points 20-plus minutes a night in several games since he's been a Dallas Star.
He's been amazing, but he sucked when he played in the playoffs for Edmonton, so I think that's what we're all worried about.
The structure here is very different than in Edmonton. So,
hey, you suck, you now, suck.
So, okay, so I don't even know what
it's going against that. Why people do one-for-one trades.
Right. okay, so we got to talk about it again. All right. apparently there is some things going on with the Dallas Stars and Mikko Rantanen again.
Mikko Rantanen.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting you to do. Yes, clickbaity right there. Yes, and but it's not just anybody saying it, guys. It's Elliot Friedman who is coming out on 32 Thoughts and talking about it. And yes, I know they're going out. The Carolina Hurricanes are, and they're just gauging interest in the player. But where there's smoke, there's fire. And the thing
there's
when
a
I
lot
look
of smoke
at,
coming from my computer right now.
So is the Rantanen deal coming from your computer? Come on, computer, give us a deal. No. When I've looked at deals in the past that Jim Nill has done, he's been able to fleece teams for better players, in my opinion. For example, Tyler Seguin, perfect example in the fact that they got the best player in the deal and the worst player that the best player they parted with was Louis Erickson. And then we saw what happened with Erickson's career after he left Dallas. It was not good after that. If they go out and get Mikko Rantanen, one of two guys is gone, maybe both, Logan and Maverick. Do you think they would be able to get from the Carolina Hurricanes, because the Carolina Hurricanes might panic, and you can get it for Logan Stankoven in a first-round pick and or a second-round pick? Is that something that, as a deal, that Carolina would accept at the last minute?
It's not going to happen because the Stars are going to treat him like a rental because he's a pending UFA. They're not going to re-sign him because all the money's going to go to Wyatt Johnston. So it doesn't make sense for the Stars to give up two first round picks. You could call it three if you want to count Logan and Bork as two first round picks themselves, but two first round picks for someone who is gone in 3 months.
Right. And that's where it comes to. There's two sides to this Rantanen debacle. Is if the Canes are able to trade him and there's a condition that he signs with the team and he does sign, you're able to get a lot more. Then you're looking at giving up a first round pick, Logan or Maverick, and then maybe another prospect, maybe a second round pick as well. But if he's looking at a rental, that's probably where Nil is kicking the tires on. If you can get Mikko Rantanen as a rental for a first round pick and a second round pick, that might be worth it.
I don't know. But again, it's if you get him, are you basically guaranteeing yourself a Stanley Cup win? And no,
you're not.
You can, and see, that's why I'm like, even for Mikko Rantanen and just with him, without him signing an extension in Dallas, I don't even think I want to give him a first round pick. Now, a second round pick, then maybe we're talking a little bit, but there's no way that Carolina would accept a deal like that.
I don't think just for a second, especially when you see that Yanni Gourde is apparently worth a first round pick.
Right, exactly. Exactly. That's fair. So I just thought it was interesting seeing his name out there again. The Stars apparently are circling back to Rasmus Ristolainen, which I really hope they don't go out and get because I'm afraid they're going to overpay for him. But again, it's Jim Nill. We trust Jim Nill not to overpay for players like that. And apparently there have been no calls on Rasmus Ristolainen either. So no one really wants him either. So maybe we can, again, steal him, get him for a third or fourth round pick, something
one
ridiculously
one. Dumba,
low.
Dumba for Ristolainen.
Now that I might actually consider. That because if Ristolainen's deal is coming up this year, even though he might be worth...
Why wouldn't the Flyers want to be saddled with another 2 years of a bad defender on their payroll? That because just sounds like a good time.
Just give them a fourth round pick. They'll be happy with it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Take our fourth rounder and this guy.
Okay. That's about all I've got, guys. Unless something else huge happens.
It would be crazy since Nil has spoken so vehemently against trading either of the Stars, roster prospect players, that's Bork, Stegovin, Bischel. I think it's just very, 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 very unlikely.
I mean, crazier things can happen. You could get a first round pick for Yanni Gourde. That'd be crazier, but I still just I can't see where that happens.
He's looking for a team that is willing to part with someone for relatively cheap. Like it's gonna be they know it's gonna be a rental, and you're gonna get like maybe a second and a third, honestly.
Oh, we got Matto had a good comment. He said we got to circle back on the suitor thing that we talked about. All right, so we talked about however you say his first name. How do you say it? You looked it up, Ryan, right? Afterwards?
P.S. Suitor.
Nope, he didn't. Okay. Suitor, it was just garbage. I mean, whoever tweeted that was full of crap. That's what that was.
A big old lie.
It's not being nice, Chris. He wasn't full of crap. He probably just didn't exactly have the greatest source in the world. Let's just say that.
All right. Yeah. Sure. Be diplomatic.
Be diplomatic. That's how you make friends, Chris.
I mean, crazy to say a trade could happen when the game ends and then no one else says anything about it and then the trade doesn't happen. That's pretty rough.
Well, I looked at him. He would be an okay addition, but it doesn't make any sense.
Well, it doesn't change the fact that there was nothing behind this random tweet that was sent.
It was just a random tweet.
It was just tweet from a random dude.
I mean, it just happens.
He's not a random dude. He does cover the team, but
it happens around trade deadline. I mean, there's so many tweets that go out. There's so many tweets that don't happen. Okay, right. There's a lot.
But this one was crazy. He got me all riled up.
It didn't make sense.
I don't like how his last name is pronounced. Suitor?
Right.
That's what I was thinking. I don't know if he was trying to be funny
was. No one likes how Suitor sounds.
Yes. I think we're a little bit biased, though, to be completely honest with you. Nah. Okay. All right. The more and more that I hear about how the Stars are connected to everybody, the more it makes me think that Jim Nill is not actually going to make a move. And honestly, I would be okay with that at this point. At first, I was worried because I was like, we're going to have a bottom pairing of, you know, Smith and Dumba for a while for a couple games. That's worrying. Dumba has played a little bit better. I'm not saying he's been amazing, but he has played well enough to be a number six, which is not what he's paid for, but he's been good enough to be a number six. And they've been able to win some games because the offense has been ridiculous at 3.7 goals per game, basically, if not even higher now because of the amount of goals they've scored. Eventually, those goals are going to dry up a little bit at least, and it's not going to be as I can't think of the right word right now.
As easy to win games?
They're not going to be scoring as many goals as they have been. So maybe we're just holding on until the end of the season. And I would say we're not even holding on. We're actually thriving pretty well right now with the defense that we have right now. And now that's also being said, we're also one more injury away from even being more worried about this defensive core with where it's at. I mean, we've seen Labushkin get banged up so many times this year already.
Game.
Yeah, and he's always seems to come back. I mean, God forbid something happens to some of the other defensemen on this decor that are even more important than Labushkin even. If that happens, then we're in some real, real trouble. So I don't think...
That's the kind of thing that, like, that can happen to any team too, though.
I mean, right.
Any team right now, if a puck flies towards their best player's head and hits them in the head and knocks them out for the rest of the season, your playoffs are kind of shot at that point, regardless of the trades you make.
Right. So, yes, you're absolutely right. We're one injury away from a real travesty. Yeah, if any team loses their top two defenders, they're cooked. So, yes, that's true. But adding another depth defender is not going to stop that from being true.
Yeah, the idea being that if you lose your top two defenders, there's no amount of trading that you could do to get back to where you were before.
You can't trade for two top two defenders.
Fair enough. Okay.
I had another thing I wanted to say is that...
Okay, go for it.
Robert Tiffin had an interesting idea, starsthoughts.com. he was like, well, the Stars do have tons of cap space and not a ton of assets, and that's why we're kind of not willing to make a move. Why don't we be that third team in a trade and actually eat some cap space for a potential expiring UFA that someone can't fit under their roster? That would be a good idea. And that might explain why the Dallas Stars name is in everybody's mouth for everything. That, yeah, we were talking to the Dallas Stars about this guy, but maybe it actually was that they were trying to be the third team in a deal, which would be interesting.
And naturally, you would get something for that. Draft pick of any kind. You wouldn't get like a first round pick, most likely, but an asset's an asset. You're basically paying for a
team
that
has no trades or no draft picks anymore. I mean, we'll take some thirds. I'd like that.
Especially with kind of the feeling being that Muro isn't going to get back before the playoffs.
Right. That's another thing I want to point out. According to the Donnie and Dolly podcast, I'm reading this off of, again, Robert's Twitter, Gallardi was on there, and he apparently said that I'll just read the quote. So this is quoting Gallardi. We're pretty sure he, Miro, is not going to play any regular season games. We're projecting possibly sometime in the first round, but it's still up in the air. So if that's the case, you can put him on LTIR and even have even more cap space.
Which makes the Rantanen thing seem a little bit more doable if you give up a second round pick
as a rental, absolutely doable.
Yes, and then that makes some sense. And then the Dallas Stars will be.
It's just the most expensive rental that would ever happen in hockey.
Can you imagine? That would be ridiculous. Jim, no. If there's a GM that could do it, it's him. I don't think anybody else would be able to pull off something like that, a $10 million rental.
We got befuddled by the Chris Tanev deal last year. Why not get befuddled by Mikko Rantanen joining the Dallas Stars this year? Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah. Oh, now look who's being clickbaity, Chris, huh?
I'm all about the clicks. That's what they call me, Mr. Clicky.
Okay, he's getting tired. We need to move on.
Tired? Never heard of her.
Let's get to our final segment of the evening, guys. We are doing our Who Cares segment for the evening. Chris, or actually James, this is yours, right? So
yes.
Why don't you go ahead and introduce what we are doing for our Who Cares segment for the evening?
All right. We're doing one of my own for tonight. We are doing your favorite types of swords. So your top three favorite types of swords.
Scimitar. I like scimitars.
Is that your number third?
That's my number third.
Actually how you pronounce it?
That is how you pronounce it.
Okay, I didn't know
that's
that.
Probably got an accent behind it, but it is a scimitar. It's the one, it's the curvy one that the, I don't know if this is insensitive or not, that the Arabs use when they're on horseback. That's where it's from, like the Middle East and North Africa. Am I allowed to say Arab? I think
Yes. Okay, I think it's okay. Okay, hold on. I'm trying to pull up pictures so people on YouTube can see it.
All right.
Okay.
I'm glad we're getting visuals on the podcast.
My number third is going to be the Cutlass. This is your traditional pirate sword, okay?
Oh, that's a good one.
Like, this is what the dude with the eye patch would have while he's sailing on the seas, you know?
No, pull up the Cutlass. We already did Scimitar.
Yeah, pull up the Cutlass.
Well, I'm behind, okay? I'm trying to catch up, okay?
No, it's okay. Catch up.
Scimitar.
All right. People, that's a scimitar.
There's a scimitar.
It's a scimitar. It might be a scimitar. I don't know.
It's not. There's no way it's a scimitar.
I don't think it's a scimitar.
But yeah, the Cutlass is also curved like the Cutlass. Or sorry, like the scimitar. Scimitar.
The Cutlass scimitar. Is curved like the Cutlass. You're starting to sound like me, James.
I had a whole thing in my head.
Why'd the pirates use a cutlass instead of just a sword?
Because they could, and also because they stole it from other people.
Did they steal them from the Arabs?
They stole them typically from the English and French. This is what like French officers would carry with them.
Get rocked, Frenchies. Ryan.
My number three is this one right here. It's called a claymore. And yes, a lot of my sword knowledge is exactly. A lot of my sword's knowledge is thanks to Elder Scrolls. So yes, it is a two-handed blade. It's enormous. And I think they look cool. That's about it. That's all I got.
And my number two is similar to the claymore, but it's a Danish great sword. It's the same kind of deal. It's a big freaking sword. And it's used to hold back a whole bunch of people. And like from that one story of the Viking standing on the bridge, fending off all the Englishmen. That's a good one. I like it.
Wait, how do you spell it?
Danish greatsword. What do you want me to spell?
Wait, is it? Those are all pretty small words.
I don't know if I can help you with that.
Okay, I didn't know if it was Danish. That's what I assumed. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, there you go.
Right. Like this one. Like that one?
Big freaking sword. No, that one's small.
So my number two is also a two-handed sword, but it's better than both of yours. It's called the Zweihänder. Okay?
Bless
you. This is what... it's from Germany. This is what their mercenaries in the like 1500s would use. And it
Ryan, pull up the Zweihänder. I need to see this.
Z-W-E-I-H... A with the two little dots over hand. And then N D E R.
Yeah, I think you can ignore the dots. I think Google's smart.
Yeah, there you go. These swords are beautiful. I mean,
oh, yeah, that's it.
It is like the most beautiful two handed sword to me, far and away.
Heck yeah.
All right, Ryan, you're number two.
Okay, that is actually really cool. I really like
it's
that.
It's so cool.
And it's got a cool name.
It does Zweihänder. Have a cool name.
All right, my number two is also, I don't know how to pronounce it, and that's why I asked you, Chris, is the scimitar, however you say it. It's cool, it's curved, it's a single-edge blade. I love it. That's it. Number two, keep going.
All right, and my number one's boring, but it should be everyone's number one, and it's a katana, because, I mean, katanas are awesome. So if the katana's not your number one, then you're incorrect.
That is also.
I have a different number one, and I think my number one is way cooler. My number one is the rapier. The rapier is such a cool weapon. It's a tiny little thin sword that's just made to be really fast. This is what Inigo Montoya uses in The Princess Bride. It's this really pretty fancy sword.
But you had to pull the Princess Bride into this
and pokey it. I love this weapon. If there's ever a chance that I get to use this weapon in a game, I use it every time.
Do they have that in Elder Scrolls? I think they have one in Elder Scrolls. They don't?
I don't think they do.
Really? That's interesting. Well, it almost looks like a fencing sword.
That's crazy.
It's kind of like a fencing sword, yeah. Except...
You know how they like fenced in The Princess Bride? You remember that part? Yeah. It's a pretty big scene.
They are beautiful, though.
You know, I'll be honest, James, I like your number two better than your number one.
Ah, rude.
The number two looks really cool. I really liked your number two. I can't even pronounce it.
I love the number two, James.
This is the Zweihänder.
It literally, the name literally means just double hander. Like, it's just two handed sword. That was the name that came up for it.
Well, now I hate that. Thanks.
Okay. We're tired. We're already over an hour. Yeah, y'all got anything else?
Nope.
Okay. Let's get out of here. Thank you all of you for who have been listening live. There's even more who are listening afterwards. Appreciate y'all. Thank you to DraftKings Sportsbook. Promo code is THPN there. If you are listening on the audio side, leave us a 5-star review, wherever that may be. If you're on YouTube, click like and subscribe. And also hit that notification bell so you never miss an episode.
And if you listen to this on Friday, go buy the Mikko Rantanen Stars jerseys. They're going to be on the
If I lost my train of thought. StarcasticRemarks.com is the website. StarcasticRemarksShop.com is the merch store. And if you'd like to join our Who Cares Club to help support us and what we do, just help us offset some of the costs that we have running this podcast. $5 a month. Nothing is behind a paywall. It's literally mostly just to help us out in covering some costs. that we have with this podcast, and you get a couple of extra little perks with it too. And I think we're up to 12 right now, gentlemen, 12 to 13 members in our Who Cares Club. So it's very cool to see friendos. It growing over the last month.
Said thanks, friendos.
Thanks, friendos. Alongside James, alongside Chris, my name's Ryan. We'll catch you guys on the flip side. Hope you guys have a good, fantastic morning, afternoon, evening. Whenever you guys are listening, we will catch you guys again tomorrow night when the Stars are back in action at the point. See you guys later.